brothers and sisters, isn't it amazing where we travel in a week? Do you remember where we were a week ago? We were in this church, and we were lighting the fourth candle on our Advent wreath. And to think about everything that's unfolded since then. You know, last Monday, we celebrated the story of the coming of a Savior. Tuesday, we celebrated a feast. It was the feast of St. Stephen, who everyone was a deacon, the first martyr of the church. On Tuesday, we celebrated the feast of St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Apostle, and then everyone, we concluded it all by on Thursday celebrating the feast of the Holy Innocents, and we'll come back to their story here in a moment. So isn't it amazing what can all unfold in such a short period of time? And let's go back to the Gospel of last Sunday. In the Gospel of last Sunday, we hear the Annunciation story. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and she is told this: you will conceive a bear a son. And Mary's in wonderment and says, how can this be? And remember what the Holy Spirit says: the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, in regards to that gospel, there are two tidbits I want you to take from it today. When the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, she says these very words: hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. They sound familiar? They should. They make up one of the great prayers we have in the life of the church. And we call that prayer the what prayer? The Hail Mary. Exactly. Second of all, remember this. The child that you give birth to is to be named Jesus, and the word Jesus means this. It means God saves. Now, let's be clear about one thing. God did not come to save us from ourselves. Be clear about that. He didn't come to save us from ourselves. In this story of salvation, there's work that we too have to do. Words and actions. If we want to stumble over our own selves, God gave us free will. But in the story of God, what he did was sent his son to save us from something. And that was to save us from our sins. That's why he came. And with that, brothers and sisters, we now move to the feast of this Sunday, the feast of the Holy Family. Please notice we don't call it the family that never experienced trial and tribulation. We don't call it that. It's the Holy Family. Let me share a story with you. This was a story, everyone, about a priest who gave a retreat to a group of fathers. And at the end of the retreat, he finished with these words: Joseph is a great model for all of us to take. And once the retreat was over, one of the fathers came up to the priest and he said, you know something, Father, thanks for everything, but I disagree with your final words. You said this: Joseph is a great model for all of us to take. And the father went on and he said this: think about this. Joseph was a saint. Mary was without sin, and Jesus was the Son of God. So I'm going to share something about my family. First, I'm not a saint. Second, my wife is now without sin. And thirdly, my son, he said, let's just put it this way, is not the Son of God. Okay, he's not. Okay, so because of that, I disagree with you. The priest turned around and he said this: you know something? I hear what you're saying. But he said, I want to ask you two questions. Question number one: did your future wife, before you were married, come up to you and say, I'm pregnant, and you had to wonder by who? Second question: has your child ever left home for 3 days and you didn't know where they were? And the father had to say no. And with that, the priest said, well, then maybe, just maybe, Joseph isn't such a great example for us to take in our lives. With that, everyone, let's turn to the gospel of today. What's fascinating, everyone, is we celebrate the story of the presentation, which really occurs on February 2nd, 40 days after the story of Christmas, where Joseph and Mary present Jesus in the temple. And what do they present? We realize their poverty: a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay? But in the story of the presentation, we hear the story of a man named Simeon. In all my days as a priest, I've only seen one sculpture of Simeon. It's a sculpture, everyone, of Simeon holding the Christ child in his hands. He has this great big smile on his face as if to say, finally, finally, the words of the Holy Spirit are true. I have laid my eyes on this child who is to be the Savior of the world. But we hear after he does this, everyone, he turns to Mary and she says this. You know something, Mary? A sword of sorrow will pierce your heart. And how true it is. Did you ever realize in the story of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in the early years, we don't know much, but what we do know certainly is an idyllic. I shared with you the story, everyone, of the child Jesus being lost for 3 days, going through all their relation. Imagine going through a city wondering where their child is. Imagine having to go through Jerusalem, huge city. But did you ever think about this? I mentioned earlier, December 28 celebrates the Feast of the Holy Innocents. You know the story well. Herod is so angry at the astrologers, everyone, that what does he want to do, everyone? He wants to set out, and he decides he's going to destroy every child born around Bethlehem, 2 years old or younger. And because of that, what do they have to do? They have to flee to Egypt. People, this should give us some comfort and consolation. I mentioned earlier, we do not call this the feast of the family that never experienced trials and tribulations. I want you to hear this as well. We don't call this the perfect family. We call it the what? Holy family. Why? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in all that they experienced, that's what centered their lives. It was a deep, deep, deep faith and trust in the God's will. People, I mentioned earlier, God didn't give them to save us from ourselves. You and I have work to do. And to do that, we have to grasp this word to be holy. To be holy. The holy family. You know, isn't it interesting in a world centered on me and I want everything, I want it my way. When it comes to our family, we didn't have a lot of choice, did we? Now, husbands and wives, you got to choose yourselves. I get that. But look at my story. Did I get to choose my mom and dad? No. Did I get to choose my sisters? No. Did I get to choose my brother? No. And yet, you know what? It's within that structure, within that social fabric, that we learn how to live. It's within that social fabric that we understand how to be holy in our relation to other people, in my relation to myself, and above all, in my relationship to God. I came across a quote this past week, speaking of the family, by Father Joe Robinson, and I just want to share this with you today. This is what he wrote. The greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yet our neighbor we most often neglect is the person or persons closest to us. We too often take each other for granted instead of making time for one another, helping each other, complimenting each other, thanking each other, or being patient and forgiving of one another. Good relationships are made up of these little things. So what is he saying? In many ways, holiness is found in just such a thing as these. I'm going to close today, everyone. I have my book of blessings. I'm going to close with a prayer for all of your families today. We'll pray this prayer off of the blessing here in a moment. But as we do so, I want us to pray for our families. Pray, you know, as we're on the threshold of a new year, pray for faith, trust, forgiveness, holiness, and time. Time with and for each other, especially as we begin the year of 2018. So for all of you today at this time, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I want you to pray for your own family today. Pray for those who truly need your prayer as we take a moment now and we pray. We bless your name, O Lord, for sending your own incarnate Son to become part of a family so that as he lived its life, he would experience its worries and its joys. We ask you, Lord, to protect and watch over these families so that in the strength of your grace they may enjoy prosperity, possess the priceless gift of peace, and as a church alive in their home, bear witness in this world to your glory. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.